This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits. Make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
All right, a couple of other things we should get to on this episode of Bustin' Loose Baseball. While you're listening, if you can right now, subscribe to the pod so you get it dropped to the phone every time we bring you a new one. We try to get them out on Sunday night for Mondays, and then generally we get them out on Wednesday nights into Thursday, depending on when series starts, sometimes a little later in the week. But two a week every week at least, and if news or anything interesting happens, generally we'll just jump on and do a quick third. Sometimes as a bonus pod. So please subscribe, rate, review. I'll do all that stuff. Spread the word. We'll read some comments at the end of this podcast that were left for us as we do each and every week here on Bustin' Loose Baseball. Next thing to get to is a debut that's going to be happening. So if you're listening to this after the first game of the Dodgers series, this is a little bit dated, but frankly, we'll broaden the scope a little bit to make it interesting enough and break down who Mitchell Parker is. So left-hander coming up from AAA Rochester. He is a 24-year-old former fifth-round pick in the pandemic draft in 2020, went 153 overall. We saw him at spring training in the clubhouse, Toby, and he fit the Nationals' kind of motto and build as a pitching staff at this point. He is a huge guy. 6'4", about 240 pounds. In fact, he might be the thickest pitcher they have in terms of just like, you know, that guy looks like he could play tackle in the league or guard or something. Not only is he tall, but you know, unlike some of their guys who are a little slender, you know, he's thick. But I say all that to say this is not a, you know, a huge prospect for the Nationals. He was rated by MLB Pipeline as the number 21 prospect in the system. I think the expectation for him is best case scenario, he's a back of the rotation starter. You know, worst case, he ends up in the bullpen and maybe he's a, you know, who knows? He could be a high leverage guy from the left side. So that is a safety net of sorts. I'll say who he reminds me a lot of, and this is not in any way about stuff. I brought this up to some Nats people this spring and they all kind of pushed back and I'm like, no, you got to understand. I'm not comparing what he throws. And the other, he reminds me kind of the Jake Irvin promotion in the sense that Irvin was not seen as a big-time prospect. Irvin was kind of a middle or back end of the top 30, according to some of the publications when he got called up. If it works out, maybe he could be a fifth starter. You know, now fast forward a calendar year, and, you know, he is out-pitching Josiah Gray. He's all of a sudden throwing 98 miles an hour. He's going into the sixth inning of games with one hit. Like, he has done a lot of good things, and he looks like a member of the rotation and a possible, you know, fourth, fifth starter for an extended period of time, you know, if things go well. So I bring all that up to say there is a path to Mitchell Parker overachieving, exceeding expectations, and we just saw it with Jake Irvin. One other note I wanted to throw out was he went to the same school as Jackson Rutledge, if my memory is correct. I think he was a Sanjak guy, JUCO. Same with Rutledge and was on that staff with him. So not unlike the Oklahoma boys in the clubhouse, Cade Cavalli and Jake Irvin, You know, those two guys will be very familiar with each other in the AAA clubhouse and eventually the Major League clubhouse.
Yeah, just so some of the numbers on him. He pitched in four games in spring training, went six innings, and didn't allow a run. He's only pitched once this year in Rochester, four innings, gave up one hit, one run, it wasn't earned, and one walk, five strikeouts. So honestly, if you're looking at this, I think, you know, that Jake Irvin point is, I think, is really astute. It's a similar sort of situation. Like, you know, at best, he can end up as a back of the rotation guy. But frankly, if you're looking at this, you know, long term for the Nationals, he might fit as a bullpen guy because they've only got one lefty in the pen right now with Robert Garcia. So having a lefty that maybe you can depend on, again, another guy that can give you maybe a couple innings out of the pen, I think would be a big deal, especially as a lefty. So I'm excited to see what he can do. But man, your debut and you're facing off against the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium, that's going to be a tough one.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, how about that? I mean, I don't know how they broke the news to him. Maybe we'll see one of those videos come out. But you go, oh, that's so cool. Where do I go? And they're like, L.A., you're going to Chavez Ravine. You're like, the Angels, right? Like, no. You're going to pitch against the Dodgers. Thanks, I guess. But, yeah, you'll take the assignment at this point. And I'm sure you don't get to where he did in his career without being ultra confident. And I'm sure he thinks he's going to go shove. And good luck to him. Led the minor leagues for all Nats arms last year with 150 strikeouts in his 124 innings. They didn't have another pitcher in their system that even had 120, so ran away with the strikeout crown. You mentioned the game he pitched. It was well over a week ago. It was like, I think he's going to have 9 days because of all the rainouts and weather with Rochester between outings. And I'm sure what happened was when Rutledge got dinged, took a comebacker, I think it was, in his last start, he was lined up to get this outing. You know, they probably then held Parker out knowing that they may need him. And I'm sure he got some sim work and did some things on the side. But a couple of observations just diving into some of the numbers from his one start this year. He threw 75% four-seam fastballs. Threw 57 pitches and 42 of them were fastballs. And he was basically a two-pitch guy. Now, if you remember, when Jake Irvin came up, it was kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm. It was like a lot of fastballs and plenty of curveballs, and that was it. That was certainly the case in his first start. And I don't know if that's going to be like gospel for Mitchell Parker, but first time out of the chute, that's what it was. He maxed out at 94. His average fastball velocity was 92. So he is in no way he's again from the left side. It's a little different, but he's not blowing anybody away. This is not Mackenzie Gore pitching 95 to 97. No, this is 91 to 93. I would say, I mean, maybe even not even that, maybe 90 to 92, you know, mixing in some 93s in there. That's kind of what you're going to get from the velocity. And then a curveball that's generally going to sit right around 80 miles an hour. And those are the primary two pitches. He only got swings and misses with the fastball. And in fact, most of the curveballs that he threw were like either kind of seeing eye level changers or dropping them into the dirt and got spit on. Which is a little bit worrisome as you go take on the LA Dodgers 10 days later next time out. But those are just some of the things that jumped out at me looking at the stuff from Baseball Savant from his one start in AAA.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to make your first start in the big leagues, it's going to be against a difficult lineup regardless. But being against the Los Angeles Dodgers is just going to be a treat for him. And, you know, it's just something that go out there, have some fun. It's your debut. It's awesome. It's not going to define who you are as a ball player. You'll probably be back at some point, hopefully, you know, even if it's something where it's just a spot start or even if you have to move to the bullpen, whatever the case may be. But go out there and throw some strikes. I mean, that's the one thing I'm going to look for. It's going to be difficult to get a Mookie Betts out, a Will Smith out, a Shohei Ohtani out. I just don't want to see, like we've seen with some guys, where they make their debut and they're just walking dudes all over the place. Throw things in the zone, and if they beat you, they beat you. Like, they're big leaguers. They're paid $300 million for a reason. Just don't walk the yard the entire night.
Well said. I also just want to bring up that this, to me, is evidence that the Nats have done a much better job developing the last couple of years. Now, I'm not saying stocking the system with talent, because they mostly did that with Rizzo and his pro scouting staff, or you know, what have you, basically going out and finding players in trades. But what I'm talking about is, like, it has been a long time since a fifth-round pick was able to come to the big leagues to pitch for them. It doesn't happen. I mean, you go back over the years, and I mean, it's some real ugly, like, list of guys that didn't have success, like Taylor Jordan. There's a name in my mind, Taylor Hill. I don't know if I'm making that up. I don't know if you remember that guy or if I'm lying about that. I'm thinking about, like, Austin Voth. I mean, just like,
yeah,
these are not guys with upside. And you know, Parker maybe is on a Vothian type level in terms of when he came up, but he's shown a lot more in the minors, right? He punched out 150 last year, well over a K per inning. There is some decent stuff. He's thrown well in spring. And just to have now the type of depth where it's not like Voth's your number five prospect and he comes up and you're going, well, hopefully he can put it all together and become a fifth starter or a two-inning reliever. Like, no, this guy is outside of the top 20 in the organization, and you're saying that. Like, the depth is much advanced, and the good teams, like, accidentally hit on guys where you go, well, look at this guy. I mean, you've kind of now seen it with Jake Irvin. You're seeing it with Jacob Young a little bit, who's helping you, who is not a high-end prospect. Lipscomb getting there as quickly as he did. He's not in the top 15, according to MLB Pipeline, in the system. So just a very different feel and time for some of the minor league affiliates for the Nationals, and wanted to make sure to point that out.
Yeah, and one thing we should also point out, because Jacob Young graduated, Armando Cruz now jumps into the top 30 for the Nationals prospects. But I think you nailed it. Like, this is a different Nationals farm system than we've seen in quite some time. Just, I think last year was a big step. Now the key is you got to continue to add in there and develop these guys. Like, you know, last year I think they hit a lot of guys in the draft, drafting college guys and what they've done, but I think it's just continuing to add, and that's how you build this thing. And obviously the guys at the top are doing their thing, but it's really the guys at the bottom that can help you fill out the roster and help you through a marathon of a Major League Baseball season.